Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome into Bartholomew Town's continuing coverage of the impact of COVID-19 here in Rhode Island. I'm Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a conversation with Common Cause Rhode Island's John Marion on the impact COVID-19 is having on the census. Let's start with the census specifically right now. Obviously, sure. You can't be going door to door effectively anyway. Right now, it's going to be almost impossible to get that type of count. So between people filling out their census form themselves online and other strategies you have, where does the census sit right now in terms of actually getting done this by the deadline, even if there was a 120-day extension, as President Trump suggested yesterday? Whatever the case is, in the immediate future, how do you feel about the census?
Yeah, so the census originally was supposed to be all wrapped up by July 31st. The field operation, where they start knocking on doors of people who didn't respond to the mailings, was supposed to start near colleges in early April, and then in the rest of the state in mid-May. That's all been pushed back a few weeks, and now the president has suggested pushing it back 3 months or more, although that's going to take an act of Congress to push back some of those deadlines, and we don't know if Congress will be functioning anytime soon. It certainly has scrambled both the Census Bureau's plans, because they aren't going to have those employees going knocking door to door. They don't have, people you can call to answer the census, and some of those helplines have been having problems with waits because people are out sick and they're not prepared to work remotely. And then just locally, we had plans for a field operation that can't take place in person. So a lot of that is shifting online. Some of the money that the state allocated is shifting from field to some more digital social media being done by mail communications. But, I'm hopeful that if they do extend the deadline a few months, that just gives us more time in the fall when all these events, I think if we come out of this pandemic and groups are able to hold events again, and they all shift to the fall, that'll be a good chance to reach people and convince them to do the census.
Do you sense that with, obviously this will feed into election, will there be an overlap in terms of elections, census in any way, shape, or form, getting people out to fill out a form of any kind? Do you think that can sort of be packaged up to just get as much, I guess, momentum out of one trip to a poll or one effort by a person in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to get creative I don't think we want candidates asking people to fill out the census, but when they go door knocking, but we're going to have to get creative in terms of some of the messaging about people's sort of civic duty during a pandemic. And, maybe if we are having people vote by mail ballot, we can put some language on the envelope to don't forget to fill out your census or things like that. What's interesting is just sort of the best laid plans of the last year and a half, 2 years, just got upended. And even we've recalibrated in the last month, but now the news that they might extend the deadlines forces us to recalibrate again. And the uncertainty creates challenges, but it creates opportunities, right? So I think some of the groups that had been funded to do census outreach shifted in the last month to do basic needs, right? It was food banks and things like that. Well, maybe if we extend it, they'll be able to engage in the census work that they were going to in the first place.
Right. Definitely a lot of plans upended. This, of course, super critical to the future, specifically here in Rhode Island from a funding standpoint, from a congressional representation standpoint, likely. What is, just from an emotional standpoint, is it fair to say, you know, are you concerned about the outcome that this could be an unintended further economic impact, further societal impact of COVID-19 when it's all said and done? When we look back on this, oh, geez, you know, we didn't get the census we count that we needed or we could have gotten. And that's going to factor into the rebuild phase here as we move to that.
Yeah. So there's some indications, right, that our unemployment rate is higher than the rest of the country, that sort of this, like recessions that hit us harder than the rest of the country, this is hitting us economically harder. And we're going to, quite frankly, have to rely on the federal government to bail out the state. And if we have an incomplete count, and so for some perspective, right now we're 37th out of 50 states in terms of self-response, meaning the percentage of people who have responded to the census so far. We're middle of the pack or low middle of the pack, so we're not doing great. There's billions and billions of dollars, and it's locked in for 10 years that's tied to how well we do this count. So yeah, it could exacerbate our trying to climb out of this if for the next several years we're not able to access the federal money that the population needs. That's a great point.
In terms of population shifts, I mean, we know that plenty of people, we know from the New York plates getting pulled over and the checkpoints, that there's a people who are kind of shifting to summer residents earlier. And just in general, there might be, I don't know, people leaving cities and moving to places like Rhode Island in the next year or so. They might just, in fact, some people might just say, I'm not going to go back. I came to Rhode Island. I got an Airbnb. Now I want to buy a house here, whatever it is. Do you sense that there could be a tremendous shift in population as a result of COVID-19, even nationally, that would skew census data collected prior to people kind of settling into a new location, especially with telework picking up?
Yeah, the big concern is actually college students. So so college students are supposed to be counted where they go to college. Because census day is April 1st. So that's the day where we're taking a snapshot of where the population in the United States lives. And if, you know, timing wise, all the colleges shut down before April 1st. And so off-campus housing is going to be probably our biggest problem in some respects, because those students aren't answering their mail, filling out the census and saying, I live in Providence or Newport. But instead, their parents are counting them at home. And that probably is a net loss for Rhode Island. I don't think anybody's done the analysis, but we're probably an exporter or an importer of college students more than we're an exporter, because particularly Providence has so many out-of-state students at its universities. And so that's going to affect us. Kids in dorms are going to be counted at the colleges, because those dorm manifests are turned over to the Census Bureau. Those are called block quarters. So it's going to be those off-campus college students. And in fact, the Census Bureau, was going to start knocking doors early in college towns to try to capture those kids. They haven't been able to do it yet. And they're long gone. You know, they're back to New Jersey or Long Island or Connecticut or wherever they came from.
Mm, yeah, that's fascinating stuff. It's definitely, you know, the average Rhode Islander, you would assume, this wouldn't impact their census count. But it's those, I guess it's the long tail effect of everyone who's been upended by this experience that's going to potentially create a major undercount. Is there any way, let's say the census was extended for a year, do you think with a time frame like that, you'd be able to get a significantly more accurate count?
Yeah, I think with more time, we can do more robust outreach. But I think you lose that snapshot. And that's going to be a challenge for us and everybody, right? The idea is to, you know, count people where they say they lived on April 1st. But as you suggested, populations are shifting, right? So yeah. Summer residents are coming to the state. Are they going to, count themselves here or back in their home state? You know, what happens to those college students? What happens to folks who are institutionalized, or institutional housing for homeless, people who've been hospitalized during all this? There's just a lot of uncertainty that's been created by the pandemic that really the timing just couldn't be worse for the census. Of all things, to provide perspective, biggest non-military thing the federal government does, hire more than 300,000 employees, peak operations right in April, May, June of 2020. That's when it was all supposed to sort of reach this crescendo, and boom, you drop the biggest pandemic in 100 years on us.
Yeah. What would you like to see happen? What from whether it's extension or I don't know, what is the solution given that to get the most accurate count at this point?
Yeah. So, we don't have a policy on whether it should be extended. Basically, that's a proposal floated by the Trump administration to Congress. And it seems like some skepticism in Congress of extending it too far. Remembering some states have to redistrict before us. It, in all likelihood, won't affect our redistricting too much. It'll just compact the time in which we need to do it. But states that have elections next year in 2021 need to get those districts in place, and they would need that census data to do that. So the New Jerseys and Virginias and states like that that have off-year elections. I think in an ideal world, what certainty would help, like if Congress could make this decision to grant the extension sooner than later, so that we can then set in place as best we can with the unpredictability of the pandemic, a plan to do outreach for the next however many months we have to do it. But, part of it is we raised money. There was about $500,000 in public money and about $500,000 in private money. And a lot of that money has been pushed out already to nonprofits or spent on communications contracts and things like that. And we're probably not getting more money, so we're going to have to get creative in how we resource any outreach.
Yeah, I wonder if there's just sort of an unofficial, extrajudicial moral/ethics position that someone who got a contract for census work would just pause and kind of come back to it at the appropriate time. Are you concerned that you might have blown through the budget, for a lack of a better term, and now you're going to be, when it's actually game day again, you're going to be in a tough situation where you don't have the resources that you've already kind of paid for?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think anybody who got money is going to do the work either now or later. I'm not concerned that people are going to sort of shirk on their responsibility to do the work. But yeah, I mean, you just hope we're not peaking too soon, so to speak, and that we can bring it to another crescendo when things lift and we can do some real outreach. But, I'm hoping, I'm trying to be glass half full about it, that people are understanding their civic duty, that this, like, voting is sort of a civic responsibility, and that while there's sort of a rally around the flag effect that comes with national crises, that hopefully the census can play into that. I think right now people are just distracted, right? They're distracted by the pandemic. But as that fog starts to lift and they realize that the census is something they need to participate in, they'll do it.
We shall see. I mean, I agree with you. Rally around the flag, both the national flag and the Rhode Island flag right now, really. I mean, it's critical for the state to have an accurate count. And it's a shame, unfortunately, obviously, the situation we're in broadly in every sense is a shame. It's a disaster. But it would be unfortunate if we had a significant undercount of any kind and people didn't step up on an individual basis as part of what they can do right now in the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah, and the thing to remember, my2020census.gov, right? my2020census.gov. You don't need to get the mail to fill it out. You can go to the website, and if you don't have the ID underneath where it asks you to put the ID number in, there's a link that says, I don't have my ID. You can click on that and you can fill it out. And just make sure you count everybody who's in your household or was in your household on April 1st. So that, you know, in some ways, this decision to move the census online, which was quite controversial a year ago, hopefully will pay off because people can do it without, you know, touching the questionnaire or having somebody knock on their door.
John Marion, Compton Cause, Rhode Island. Thanks so much for hopping on last minute here. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Thanks for all your great work during this.
Hey, appreciate it a lot, and yours as well.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For daily digital reporting, live streams, discussions, and much more, join the Bartholomew Town Podcast Facebook group. Your search is Bartholomew Town.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.